High Five Casino is the top choice for social casino gaming that's free to play. With chances to win and redeem for real cash prizes, free spin rewards, and tons of exclusive games, you can experience more High Five moments than ever before. You're going to want to High Five everyone. The neighbors, the mailman, all your coworkers, of course your friends. Well, you get the point. Your High Five moment awaits at highfivecasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Sarah Keogh is with us, founder of Eat Well and, of course, a leading dietitian. She's here to answer any dietary questions you have. And there are buckets of them, so we will get it lit as quick as possible. Starting with what I suspect is a common one that says, Anton, could you ask which is better, white bread or brown bread? And is there much sugar in a slice of bread? And does the bread all go on in your stomach? Eating healthy, all of that rubbish. What's your thoughts?
So bottom line is, if you're going for white or brown bread, actually it's whole grain bread or whole meal bread, because sometimes brown bread is quite literally white bread dyed brown. So this is actually true. So you go for your whole grain or your whole meal. Definitely better, because we know that whole grains reduce risk of things like bowel cancer and heart disease. So compared to the white. Now, white is not without its nutrition, and I tend to be unpopular when I say that, but often actually it's quite a good source of iron. But your brown bread, your whole grain bread is definitely better.
Still fierce carby.
Well, carbs are fine. There's nothing wrong with carbs. Oh my God, they're fine, fine. God, they cheer you up. You know, like, we need carbs to actually relax and feel good. We probably don't need like mountains of them, but we do need to include them.
Now, in terms of ingredients, is it worth reading the list? Because there can be a lot of stuff. Some of them can be quite... for instance, there is one sandwich retailer who's, for tax reasons, their bread is declared as cake because there's so much sugar in it. Yeah. I assume it's a broad spectrum depending on which brown bread you're buying.
But it's like anything. If you make stuff at home, like, you can add any amount of ingredients into it and it's the same. But the thing about it is, sometimes people, there's this thing I hear a lot going, oh, if there's a long list of ingredients, don't buy that product. But actually, a lot of manufacturers add vitamins and minerals to white flour. So if you're actually reading the list of bread and it goes flour, the brackets will be B vitamins and all the rest. Now, sometimes they use the science name, which people mightn't recognise. So instead of saying vitamin B1, they might say thiamine. So stuff like that. But they're fine as well.
Interesting one. Question saying, with a year of surgery and chemotherapy, I threw it all out the window and ate what I wanted. Brackets, desserts, treats, no alcohol, etc. And now I'm focusing on myself and I hear lots of commentary, gut health, and I don't know where to start in terms of gut health. I've not been advised any special diet, but there is so much messaging. I'm wondering if I'm too late to start or is any time a good time? I started having a bad reaction to onions a couple of years ago. Any advice?
So I love this as a question, because when they said I threw it all out the window and ate desserts and treats, that's, you know, the right thing to do. Because one of the things we do see with a lot of people who are going through a cancer treatment is they can lose an awful lot of weight. And that weight is often muscle. And some of that is due to the treatment and some of it is due to the cancer, the effect of cancer itself. So a lot of people can end up losing a huge amount of muscle. And here's a statistic, 40% of people with cancer who die of malnutrition, not cancer. So we actually want people...
Well, that's fascinating, because I was listening to Luke O'Neill talking at the Cancer Society event, talking about some of the immunotherapy treatments that are now available and massive improvements in the capacity to prevent malnutrition during chemo. But it's 40% die of malnutrition.
40% die of malnutrition. Because we see cancer patients get thin and everyone goes, oh, that's the cancer. And we never go, let's fix that. Because I used to work in cancer and I used to tube feed everybody because it was like no one was losing weight on my watch. Do you know what I mean? But it's actually so important. And so at a time when actually you could be going through treatment, people often think, well, I have to do healthy eating and I have to do fruit and veg and all that. But actually, it's the moment where, you know, healthy eating is for healthy people. You're going through cancer treatment. Eat the calories, eat the protein. That's the big thing. Your meat, your fish, your chicken. Once you're through, yes, healthy eating is back. What we know in terms of preventing recurrence of cancer in cancer patients, the three foods that have turned up as being good are whole grains, fish and dairy. So milk and cheese and yogurt actually are the three that seem to actually have some role in preventing recurrence. Now, nothing is 100%, but it's there. But if you're having issues with gut health, I would go back, because obviously I don't know what kind of cancer this person has had. If it has been bowel cancer, things like that, or anything that has affected radiotherapy in that area, I go get them to see, go ask and ask to see the dietitian. Now, we're really under-resourced for dietitians in cancer. We actually only have 4 specialist cancer dietitians for the whole country. So that's one for every 4,500 cancer patients. So you can imagine how how many cancer patients actually get access to what they need. But I would go back because sometimes people need maybe digestive enzymes quite often after this. So that could be your gut issues, you know, or it could be something less related. So I would maybe check in with a registered dietitian there for that.
Talk to me about that, because the whole gut biome is an interesting little thing. So if you have been eating a whole load of one thing and you then say, right, I'm going to head for health, am I right in saying that it can be quite a challenge in the early transition because you may not have the various bacteria and enzymes that your gut needs?
Putting it very bluntly, when people wake up one day and say, I'm going to start eating healthy for my gut, they increase their fibre and lash in a load of probiotics. And the whole gut goes, what have you done to me? And what's going to happen is you're going to suddenly have a load of new bacteria and they have a bit of a party. They produce lots of gas. So you get a bit of bloating. You might pass a little more gas. You might have a noisy, rumbly tummy. The trick with it is go slowly. I'd always say if you're going to start changing stuff for your gut over 4 to 6 weeks, do not go about and buy the entire fruit and veg aisle of the supermarket and eat it in 2 days. It's not going to go well. So you go up by a little bit of fibre, you do it for 3 days, you go up again, then you might add in a probiotic. But will you research your probiotic? Don't buy the nicest one you can see. You know, there's probiotics and probiotics. And this
is there?
Yes. I'd always say go back and see a registered dietitian. One session, and I don't even do these kind of clinics, so this is not me touting for business. Go and see a registered dietitian, because one session can save you a fortune on things like supplements and probiotics and all of those sort of things with it.
Stupid question. My understanding was that the stomach was a very harsh environment. How did the little probiotics make it through to where they need to be?
Really good question, because one of the definitions of a probiotic is that it's a type of bacteria that can actually survive your stomach acid. So that's where there's a difference between live bacteria, which may not survive the stomach acid, and a probiotic does survive the stomach acid. So that's actually part of how that works.
On the topic of weird things to challenge your gut with, my other half is doing a carnivore diet. They have cut out carbs completely, eating steak every day. He's in his 30s doing this for 28 days. I keep telling him it will play havoc on his cholesterol. Am I wrong?
No, totally right. And I'm never going to be popular when I say this, but what we do look at is that it doesn't matter what research you look at. We need plant foods in the diet for humans, and particularly for gut health. Carnivore has become this hugely popular thing because it's such a restrictive diet that everyone loses weight. And they're not losing weight because it's a magical effect of no carbs. It's the fact that you stop eating bread, pasta, rice, crisps, chocolate, biscuits.
Oh, no, Sarah. You go into ketosis.
You do go into ketosis. Like, that happens too. And, you know, you've also got the whole issue of scurvy. And this is so funny because, you know, we often talk about, you know, unless you're eating liver, you're not getting vitamin C on a carnivore diet. And the thing about it is how quickly people run through their store of vitamin C does vary hugely. So, you know, when you talk to, you know, you're doing it in school and you had the guys going off on their ships and they were getting scurvy. They didn't all get scurvy. Some did, some didn't. And some got it sooner than others. So what you'll find when we look at research about, and it is usually guys doing the carnivore diet, usually within about 6 or 8 weeks, the vast majority have stopped. The ones who continue seem to be the ones who hold on to their vitamin C a little bit longer with that. But it does. What we're actually seeing.
But scurvy is a long-term prospect. Scurvy.
Now, liver, if you're eating liver, you will get some vitamin C from the liver. But it's, you know, it is in there with it. But one of the issues is there's a surgery that's often done in people in their 60s and 70s where they clear out the carotid arteries. And I've actually stood in and watched one of these surgeries where they're literally squeezing lumps of yellow cholesterol out of it so that they don't get a stroke. And you're seeing cardiologists in the US are now doing this surgery on 35-year-old guys because it's just all these case reports. Here's my carnivore patient. He's been carnivore for 12 months. I am now squeezing this cholesterol out of his arteries. Now, obviously, doesn't
And my understanding
everybody.
Is that's an important artery.
Really important. You know, keeps the brain fed, you know. So, look, I can understand people get into doing all these different things and these are pushed online and all the rest. And look, anything for a little while is fine. But, you know, as a long-term thing, I wouldn't be recommending it.
And if you want to do a variant of that quasi-Atkins, where do you get your various different vitamins from? I suppose you go leafy greens. Does that keep you in?
If you're doing Atkins or if you're doing what we call a ketogenic diet, and that's the kind of diet that you would have started to treat, dietitians use it to treat epilepsy in kids, for example. But you will have, you know, vegetables in there and there is some carbohydrate allowed. And when it's dietitian led, we make sure the nutrition is in there. And that's kind of the whole point of getting that expert advice with it.
A question which I'm going to struggle to pronounce, but you can correct me as we go. For the dietitian, please. Hi, I'm on a course of triple therapy for H. pylori, antibiotics 5 times a day and esomeprazole twice.
Well done.
Thank you. What can I do to ensure minimal side effects to my gut and deal with any that occur?
Okay, so Let's start with what this is. H. pylori or Helicobacter pylori is a very common bacteria that we have, a lot of us have in our stomach. And when you, and it's an infection in your stomach that causes more acid production, and then it's, it would have been a major cause of ulcers. You know, these days you don't hear of anyone getting ulcers anymore.
Because of our Australian friend.
This is exactly. So we don't get the ulcers anymore because when people start getting this reflux and acid and all the rest, they get checked, they find out they have this infection, this H. pylori. You go on this, what we call this triple therapy with antibiotics, and you do it for 3 weeks. It's a lot of antibiotics. There are side effects to the gut. There's no two ways about it because you're putting such, it's a really difficult bug to clear from the stomach, but you want to clear it because it increases the risk of stomach cancer. So don't mess around with this. If you got it, you want rid of it.
So you're laying waste to everything else in the same process,
pretty
the
much
bacteria.
They're fairly broad spectrum antibiotics, so your own natural gut bacteria are going to be affected. What I would say there is, to be honest, it's grand. Wait it out. You'll be fine. What you can do if you run into issues is I'd eat a bit of porridge because the sticky soluble fibre in porridge is very good for helping just keep things a little more normal in the gut. I'm going to mention this is the a lot of people get very itchy in an intimate area with this because it changes the gut bacteria in the whole area down there. If it's you, chop into the go into the pharmacist and get a cream. If that does happen, that's a common not spoken about side effect of this when people are on the triple therapy. But your gut will recover afterwards. So things like soluble fibre porridge is actually really, really good. Something to throw in even once or twice a day while you're going through that therapy.
Isn't that amazing, though, that something that caused so much misery for so many and so much death is now curable just with the course of antibiotics?
You know, it's just fantastic. And I'd say, anyway, if you're having reflux, don't be putting up with it. Go to the doctor and make sure it's not this H. pylori.
Because if it is H. pylori, it is curable.
Yeah, you want rid of it.
Sarah, as ever, thank you so much. That is Sarah Keogh.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
High Five Casino is the top choice for social casino gaming that's free to play. With chances to win and redeem for real cash prizes, free spin rewards, and tons of exclusive games, you can experience more High Five moments than ever before. You're going to want to High Five everyone. The neighbors, the mailman, all your coworkers, of course your friends. Well, you get the point. Your High Five moment awaits at HighFiveCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.